Well, let's start today with a question. You answer for yourself. There's no right and wrong answer. There's no one answer better than the next. It's really more a matter of what you think. Here's the question. What do you think? If you had to make a choice, what's more important in life? To be a good follower or to be a good leader? To be someone who is willing to follow someone else to follow in their life, or to be someone in your own life that others would be willing to follow? What's more important, a good follower or a good leader? Having a good role model to follow or being a good role model for others to follow? Well, thankfully in life, that's not a choice we have to make, at least not in deciding one over the other. Following and leading, they're not in any ways in opposition, and they're certainly not mutually exclusive. For most, if not all of us, it's not a matter of either or, as much as it is a matter of when and how. There are times in life when it's better that we are followers and we do exactly that, we follow. And there are other times when we are called to lead and each one of us need to step up. Well, today we're in week 7 of our Family Tree sermon series, sort of the halfway point that's going to take us through the rest of this summer. And we're looking at a number of the Old Testament characters in the Bible, some of our, we've been saying, our spiritual ancestors, our relatives, from which we can learn some life lessons. The character we're taking on today is the person of Joshua. Joshua was one of the greatest leaders the nation of Israel ever had. We'll talk about his leadership in a few moments. He was also, before becoming a leader, one of the best examples we'll find in the Bible of someone who knew what it meant to follow. Well, to get us going here today, before we look at Joshua and his life, let's set the context for his life in the context of what God has been doing through the lives of a number of those Old Testament characters we've been looking at in these last few weeks. And as we do so, keep in mind that God's perfect and completely functional work and plan were worked out and carried out through a not so perfect and less than functional group of people. Take a look at the front walls, all right? And this is just a very quick review, all right? Starting with Abraham and Sarah, it was the promise of a nation through which God would work to save the world. They had no children, at least not at that point, but later in life, they had a son named Isaac. Isaac grew up and married, and he and his wife Rebekah had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the oldest, had the right to the family inheritance and blessing, but Jacob was a deceiver, if you remember that story, ended up deceiving his brother and his father and stole what wasn't really rightfully his. From there, Jacob had 12 sons and a daughter. The 12 sons would become the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, through which God would eventually send his own son, Jesus, to save the world. One of the 12 sons of Jacob was Joseph. He was the favorite and the favored son of his father. His brothers were all jealous, sold him as a slave, and he was carried off into Egypt. Now, if you remember the story, after a series of events, Joseph ends up second in command only to the Pharaoh himself. All right, he oversees the saving and the distribution of food during 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. After reuniting with his father and his brother, the family settles in a land of Goshen, just outside of Egypt, where the nation of Israel begins to grow. Nearly 400 years later, a new Pharaoh, who didn't know anything about Joseph and about any of that history, takes power, all right? As a result, the Israelites become slaves to the Egyptians, and that's when their nearly 400 years of bondage or slavery begin. All of that leads up to last week's story about Moses, all right? The one God raised up to become the nation's deliverer. Through a series of events, a series of plagues, ultimately followed the final plague, where it was the killing of the firstborn, the Pharaoh finally relents, and Moses is able to lead the people out of Egypt and their slavery into the wilderness toward the promised land. Now take a look at the map up front, and you'll see where they've been and what's happening that's led to this story of Joshua, where we're picking it up here today, all right? So if you see up on the upper left, all right, it's the Mediterranean Sea. Over on the left-hand side is Egypt, all right? That's where they were, just outside of Egypt in the land of Goshen. And then from there, when the Pharaoh finally let them go, they began following the arrows across the Red Sea. There weren't actually arrows in the Red Sea, but they were on the map there is, right? But they're following, they went through the Red Sea, all right? And then when they crossed the Red Sea, God parted the sea for them. They went down south toward Mount Sinai, where they ended up spending about a year's time. And when they were at Mount Sinai, that's when God gave them the Ten Commandments. After the Ten Commandments, they started up north again, where they were on their way to enter the Promised Land, but they failed to trust in God. So as a result, instead of trusting God and able to go into the Promised Land, they ended up wandering literally in circles for about 40 years. Finally, when that generation that was untrusting died off, and a new generation came up, God allowed them to go in. He led them up through Kadesh Barnea up to Mount Nebo. That's where Moses dies. And then when Moses dies at Mount Nebo, Joshua takes over and then leads them across that little line is the Jordan River into the Promised Land. All right, so that's the context of Joseph's life, some of the background to the story we're looking at today. I hope all of that helps. All right, so a number of things we could mention about Joshua's life. We're talking about leaders and followers. Let's start with Joshua as a follower, all right, before he became the leader. He was not always the one up front. There were times where he was someone further back. Well, let's turn it back to about a year after they began entering into that wilderness on their way to the Promised Land, right? Down near toward Mount Sinai, where they got the Ten Commandments. As they're moving up toward Canaan and they're ready to go into the Promised Land, about a year into it, that's when God had promised, of course, that he would open that land to them. But before he opened it, he said, I want you to send a group of 12 spies into the land of Canaan to see what you're up against. All right? And so that's what they did. And Joshua was one of the 12 who was sent in. When they came back out with their report, 10 of the 12 said, there's no way. I mean, there's no way. They said the Canaanites were too strong. They'd never be able to pull it off. Two of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, offered a minority report. Strong, yes. Too strong, no way. Not to the God who's led us thus far, not to the God who's promised the land of Canaan would be ours. Nonetheless, the nation of Israel did not listen to Joshua and Caleb, nor did they trust in what God had promised, and so they had to wander, as we saw, for 40 years until finally that generation died off and a new generation had come along. Only Joshua and Caleb, who trusted in God's word, were allowed to go in. From that point on, after that first year and they started their wandering, Joshua became an understudy to Moses. In almost everything that happened during those wilderness wanderings, Joshua was learning from Moses. He watched him, he listened to him, he learned from his right choices and his mistakes. Before becoming a leader, he was first a follower. He followed Moses, he learned from Moses, and he listened to Moses, who in turn followed, learned, and listened from God. Two other things about Joshua's life worth mentioning before turning to some of the lessons that we find. One, when Joshua finally took over as the leader, he was a tremendous military leader. He was the one who led the nation not only into the Promised Land of Canaan, but he was also the one who was in charge as they took over the entire land. That Walls of Jericho story, remember that, all right, where they walked around the walls for 7 days, one the first day, one the second day. The seventh day, they finally walked around seven times, trumpets blowing and everything. Finally, the walls fall down, the Israelites are able to go in, and then the people were conquered, all right? That certainly was, it was the first city taken by Israel, but it was just the start. That same pattern continued for many years. God was bringing his judgment on an ungodly nation, nations, all right? That's what the book of Joshua is all about. It's about God's judgment on ungodly nations, all right? And Joshua was leading that. City after city conquered and destroyed. Little by little, Israel began to take hold of the land God had promised to give. Read through the book of Joshua, and that's what you're going to find, all right? Joshua was a powerful military leader, leading the people until finally the land was there, was theirs. The second thing worth mentioning is that Joshua, while being a strong military leader, was also a strong spiritual leader. All throughout his life, that's what the people noticed. At every turn in his life, that's what Joshua did. He was faithful in following God. He was committed to doing what God had called him to do. Even when it made no sense, even when the odds against him and the nation seemed too great, there was nothing too great for God to handle. If God commanded it, Joshua followed it. And in following God's commands, Joshua ended up being a strong spiritual leader. Now, there's a lot more we could say about Joshua's life. All right, we're hitting on just some of the high points. All right, as with each of the characters in this series, I'd encourage you to go back and read the story of Joshua. Read through that book. All right, it's a powerful story. It's an inspirational story, the book of Joshua. The story of a follower under Moses who became a great leader under God.